Now, I want to tell you something. The world is moving away from the gray to the black. And the church is moving away from the gray to either white or black. And the gray middle area is disappearing from America. It's disappearing from the churches as well as our society in general. The world and the church are moving into spiritual relationships. The world is moving into a spiritual relationship with demon spirits that it has never known in this nation and this time in our history. The American history has never known the demonic involvement that it has in this huge demonic upsurge in the last decade. And I'm going to promise you the next decade is going to be many-fold worse. They are activated by spirits in a much more, and they are being inputted in a heavy degree. It's influencing and changing our entire culture. It has changed our movies in the last 10, 15 years. It's changed our books. It's changed our music. It's changed education. It's changed everything. Think it not strange that when the devil comes in like a flood, that God doesn't raise up a standard against it. Think it not strange that when demon powers are let loose on the earth, that God doesn't send angelic forces from heaven to counter them. And so the church is going to imbibe, they are going to receive angelic visitors as never before. Now, folks, I'm not talking about some weird UFO type of thing, as it's, you know, oftentimes promulgated by some weird imagination. I am talking about what the Bible talks about. See, God has created us with a spirit to enter the spirit world with, to receive from the spirit world. That's what we got a spirit for. Otherwise, we just have a soul. So first of all, you have to come to grips with that. Secondly, the Bible talks about the church of Jesus, the real church, which is headquarters is in heaven. When you come to that church, he says you come to an innumerable company of angels. You have to come to grips with that. Just because the church has been in a subnormal condition does not mean that is the norm that God intended for his church. The church has been living far below the standard and the rights of sonship and the rights of angelic visitation. The Bible talks about the little ones, the angels always beholding the face of the Father which is in heaven. They have angels to keep them, or they wouldn't stand a chance with the wicked ones. He talks about women in authority with their husband and so forth because of the angels. You know, there are angels looking on. Because of the angels. He talks about, and he promised, Jesus promised when he went away, that on because of him, who is the anti-type of Jacob's ladder to heaven, because of him, you shall hereafter, he didn't say immediately, see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And when you understand what he's talking about, we have entered into a spiritual realm. He says many have entertained angels unawares. We're dealing in a spirit world out here, and it's a very powerful spirit world. There's a gigantic warfare being waged between the forces of God and the forces of the devil in this hour. And so as the great climax of the battle of the ages is coming to a climax, we are going to see more and more demon involvement and angelic involvement. Mondale said in the last hour of this campaign and battle for the presidency of the United States, trying to inject fear in the minds of the American people, saying, if President Reagan gets in, Jerry Falwell, And in his group, the majority are going to, there's going to be an orgy of intolerance sweep the nation, trying to scare them. Now, Reagan's been in for 4 years, and there hasn't been an orgy of intolerance. But I will say with more, what's what I want? Grounds, that if Mondale gets in, there will be a greater surge of intolerance. There is an intolerance. It isn't the Christians that usually cause the intolerance. It's the other way around. And there's been a great intolerance. We've already mentioned some of these things last week. Now, this gets into my Sunday school lesson this morning. This is an important lesson. I've asked all the junior high school to be here today, and they're here. And I may go a little bit late. I'm going to tell you this morning is a very important thing for you parents to get. And not only for parents, but for all Christians and for the youth in particular. Our nation is headed for Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible tells us this whole world is headed for that place of Sodom, which is spiritually called Egypt, he says. It tells you that. In which they will make merry and take great delight when they kill off Christians who still are found here during the tribulation period. They shall delight. They shall make merry when they slaughter them in the streets of America and Europe and around the world. This nation has lost its moorings. This nation is slipping fast. The only thing that's holding it is the Church of Jesus Christ, which is a great sleeping giant with tremendous power with her head in the heavenlies, if they will awake from the dead that Christ may give it life. My friend, this is an hour when we need to make total dedication. We need deliverance from demonic spirits like never before. And if we could have, we have a lot of people saying, we want deliverance, there's not enough deliverance leaders. Well, a lot of you had a chance and didn't take it when you got it. But if there are you out here, we need another dozen or so leaders. And if you can, if you're in that position, you come to Don Lockham's office and volunteer, and we'll get more deliverance going. But get together. Don't wait just for the deliverance leader. You yourself set in motion. You come against those things and begin to hammer against them. The problem with deliverance with many is just too passive. They sporadically come in. I need deliverance badly. And, I have to wait 3 weeks. And then in the 3 weeks they have to wait, they do nothing. Now, how bad did you need deliverance? You're going to waste the man's time when you get there. If you want deliverance, you should be on your face before God. You should be fighting those demons. You should be claiming. You should be battling. So when you step in the deliverance leader, you already got the devil on the run, so to speak, so that, boom, they're coming out like this, not come to him still set with unwillingness, stubbornness, dryness, lethargies. You need to be fighting hard, not waiting for some deliverance leader just to be able to throw the pie of deliverance in your face so you can lick the cream off. We need to recognize that this is our warfare, and they're helpers. They are not the deliverer. We must fight, and we're calling for help. Friends, I tell you, this is a serious matter we're talking about. We are going to see this nation in deep trouble. Now, this nation is being led like a bull with a ring in its nose, and it's being led step by step by step, and it's so easy at each step for the world to accept the next step. And because there's no standards in most of the churches, they accept the same standard as the world. Parents, don't fight your church by accepting Cosmopolitan magazine and putting both arms of protection around your child and giving them the right to go into demonism and worldliness against your church. Teenagers, wake up. Just because you're brought up in a Sodom and Gomorrah, it's recognize you are not the standard. What you see out here is not the standard because you live in Sodom like Lot and his wife and their children, and begin to like the things as you see them, become accustomed to them, the shock comes off, doesn't mean that is what's right or it's innocent. I'm going to read you some very startling things today. Now, Jesus had a problem, and I say this with certain, in a certain vein, with his disciples believing him. Although they knew he knew more than they didn't believe him because they couldn't see it and feel it. The biggest case is the case of his resurrection. They would not believe him because they hadn't seen him, because they couldn't equate with him, because they didn't understand it. I had a certain satellite pastor tell me the other day on the phone. He says, "Don, you preach something certain way back there. You're preaching certain things." He says, "I could not equate with it." He says, "Now I understand it. Now that we're having these experiences, now I know what you're talking about." So I could not equate with it. Now I know. Unfortunately, so many of us have to wait until we are there. We cannot just accept and believe from those that God has sent. When we had these certain dissidents that the demons were witnessing, I warned the people. I said, "These are demon powers. You get out there and listen, you're going to get poisoned. Think not your logical mind can handle it." And they did not believe me. Most of the church, although they theoretically believed me, in a practical sense, when it came right down to it, or at least a lot, I shouldn't say most, I should say a lot, when it came right down to it, did not. They would come to me and say, "Well, you know, I was a roommate with him. Let me go talk to him." I said, "You don't understand. You don't understand." And they all came back saying, "You're right. It's totally demonic. I didn't understand." They would not believe me. Now, most of you won't have any trouble knowing this is demonic. But beware of the demonic steps that are leading to these demonic steps that you think they're not demonic because I'm used to them, because I like them, because I've been brought up with it, because I have never considered it demonic. That doesn't mean it's not demonic. Demons are often involved in subtle things leading to bigger things. What I'm talking about this morning is basically the fashions. And the fashions have been building in America since the mid-60s, when rebellion burst out on the campuses of Berkeley and so forth and began to teach to burn the nation down. When the big rebellion came in the 1960s, that's when the big push came for the homosexual clothing designing and all the rebellious designing and everything else. And most Christians in America are wearing the rebellious sign. Most of them have followed the rebellious leaders. Most Christians have followed it, saying, "My God doesn't care." Totally naive. They have not seen the plot of the devil that has led step by step by step. I watched it way back before that, and I have been saying it for years, and I have been right on, and it's still happening, and it's going to get worse, and if we don't have standards and hold standards, I promise you, we're going to be in trouble. Now you see, the United Pentecostal Church, and I say this with kindness, has got themselves in a certain trouble. Back in the early days when women's emancipation movement came and women chopped their hair off short and started wearing pants, they took a hard line against pants and women having short hair. But they didn't take a hard line against men having long hair because it wasn't happening. So now that it's happening, they allow it to happen, typically, in many of their churches because they never took a thing against it. They said no movies, but they never said no television, although most of that denomination has, in general, taken a big stand now against television as well. But what I'm trying to say is, because they haven't necessarily updated to keep track of all the new things happening, you see a topsy-turvy and a lack of conformity, a lack of uniformity against the fight against the devil in that church. We must not allow new things, because we haven't taken a stand, to slip in from the devil and get into our teenagers and so forth. Now, let me start in. I got a lot of road to travel here. This is going to be an impacting thing. You've got to hear this. You'll see what the devil's trying to do. You're going to find out that a lot of the things that some of you thought were innocent, they're not innocent. And you know who knows it and says so? Falwell? No. The people of the world that invent it tell you the basis of it. They ought to know. Those that are in it ought to know. And the Christians right here saying, "It's not demonic." And the people invented it saying, "This is demonism." So what do you suppose about that? Somebody is blind as a bat out here. This first report, and it's the only one that comes from a Christian source I'm reading today, it's called Street Evangelism Report, summer 1984. Now this is by David Wilkerson. I'm reading just in part. "As soon as we arrived in New York, nearly all Long Island was in shock over the horrifying revelation that a group of teenagers had cut up and sacrificed another teenager as a human sacrifice to Satan. It was discovered that a large number of teenagers from well-to-do families were deeply involved in Satanism, much of which was a result of an influence of satanic rock groups. Their parents didn't know this was going to do that to them. Human sacrifice to Satan by devil-worshipping youth is a growing problem. This was not an isolated case, and the tragedy is being repeated in other cities and towns throughout the nation. I've been just reading about movies going across the country. They are watching cannibalism. They're watching people cut people up. And I don't mean black people in the dark continent either. I mean white people. Watching them on film eat people. Grotesque things. And people eating up the lives. This is one and laughing it up. I just got through reading yesterday in a theater, in the newspaper. Many of you read the same thing. People are going to these movies and they're dancing in the aisles and doing things and squirting water and various things as they're watching these films. And the last one, they tore the whole screen up so bad that they can't even, they had to shut the theater down. See, something's happening in people. They get involved in demonic things. In our street work and open air rallies, we came upon a doctrine that has blinded the eyes of many who call themselves believers, who still live in deep and horrible sin. It seems to be sweeping through the streets, bringing a sense of false security to sinners. I believe in grace. I preach grace. But what we come up against time and again was a terrible perversion of grace. It is a doctrine of all things are lawful. God wants us to enjoy life. Two prostitutes, one black and the other Spanish, came forward at one of my street rallies. They smiled and said, "Pray for the Lord's blessing on us. Pray God will help us to help others, to love people." Since they were known prostitutes, I said in answer, "Don't you mean you want me to pray that God will open your eyes to the reality of Christ so you can be saved and set free from prostitution?" "No," they answered emphatically. "We are saved. Sure, we are prostitutes. But the Bible says all things are lawful. We enjoy what we do, and God wants us to be happy. We are loved, and we love God too. To the pure, all things are pure. Our minds are pure, so is our prostitution." I could not convince them they were sinners, breakers of the commandments of Christ. Someone has sold them on a message of grace without repentance or separation. Do you know this has invaded the Christian world? Do you know most preachers out here are not preaching holiness? Most charismatics and Pentecostals today are still not really hard preaching holiness, getting down to any nitty-gritty at all. People are living secret sin, all kinds of sin, and the church goes on, and not a word. There are many, most churches in America you can go to and never hear a message that will ever make your face red or pinch your toes or put you in the spot or anybody's going to come after and get a hand on your shoulder. You live like you want, and they leave you alone and say nothing. They preach grace to you and Jesus and let you live in sin. And it's a terrible condition in the church. It's the same church that God speaks about throughout the entire Old Testament of Israel living in sin and coming to the temple. And he says the music, the songs, and the worship is a howling din in his ears. And he said, "Away with it." I met a drug addict who walked out of our teen challenge center 2 years ago. He had gone back to methadone, a synthetic drug. He was hooked. As I spoke to him, he wept and began speaking in tongues. He confided, "Brother Dave, God's spirit is on me right now. I pray in tongues, but I'm an addict. God must not be too upset with my habit." See, they don't know the theology. They do not understand it. They have not been taught deeply. He doesn't know that the spirit in him may be crying out, "My God, I'm a sinner. Help me, help me. I'm going to hell. I need trouble. I'm backslidden. I'm in trouble." Maybe God hasn't cut the string on him yet. On the other hand, maybe a pseudo-spirit's come in and he's speaking in tongues through them. Both are possibilities. One happens and that spirit is crying out until God cuts you off, and the other spirit enters and he can keep right on. Over in the Fadeen house, when we had church there, We had hippies that came in on drugs, unsaved. One of them was speaking in tongues. Had a great big vision of herself as huge, stamping on Christians and praying to Satan that he confused my father who was preaching that night. I could not convince him he was wrong. And again, all things are lawful to the pure in mind. All things are pure. God wants me to enjoy life. The one that can't get delivered. You can't get delivered? Maybe you're not willing. Maybe you're not willing to get delivered. Maybe you want it in your spirit, but your soul is not really willing to come to grips and get delivered. There are people out of this church right now because they were not willing to quit the smoking, drinking, and drugs, even though they wanted to get rid of it. They wanted to. They came for prayer, they came for deliverance, but they would not. They would not. They wanted it taken away from them, they would not give it up. And they're out, they're gone. Most of those who are caught in this trap of Satan are former churchgoers who sat under gospel teaching but who refused to lay down their sin and habits. They wanted Christ but refused to give up their idols. Warning, saints, there's coming a great falling away. Some are not going to make the rapture. Everybody's not going to automatically make the bride. You've got to be progressing toward it. I warn you, in the day when the church is out-translated, if you're left, you have been warned. How true of us. A man's moral determines his theology. How sad that multitudes of compromising former churchgoers now roam the streets, the bars, as homosexuals, prostitutes, and drug and alcohol abusers, convinced they're on their way to heaven, blinded to the sinfulness of their wicked deeds, lulled into thinking God winks at their weaknesses, with consciences that are sealed and calloused. They think they can do anything against God and get away with it. There are a number of members that came from this church that loved God, that were filled with the Holy Ghost, that were loving God, that are now in homosexuality and sin and wickedness, having become accusers of the church. The devil took them over and it destroyed their base, and they're living in wickedness. And I mean that. I know the names and the situation. I feel this perverted doctrine is creeping into our churches like leaven, even now. Now, this is a man who travels the nation. He ought to know. Why? Because too many preachers are offering the benefits of the altar without the awesome vision of the throne. The throne. The throne. It's not just repentance. It's the throne of God. It's the love of God. It's hooked in loving Him and tied in with Jesus. The purging calls from God's altar must follow the humbling and brokenness that results from a vision of holy God on His throne. We can reach His altar only by way of His throne. Otherwise, we end up preaching and believing in a grace without responsibility. Now, listen to this. There are clothing makeup guides that are coming out in a Christian school. And it's coming, and it's come out to your parents. And it's coming out to you that have children in public school. And it's asking them in public school to have the same standards, because it's the same standard as this church. This has come out, and how many have read it? Okay, now, listen. Align with it. Don't fuss at it. Don't pick it. Don't say, well, I don't think they have a right. Well, I don't think of this. Well, I disagree on this point. Be careful. Be careful. Which one of you wants to stand up here and make a rule for everybody that everybody will be happy with? Which one of you will want to say that your involvement in the past to the present has given you the perfect standard? Which one of you will want to say that in the long run, to fight parts of it and disseminate that to your children and so forth is not going to do more harm than if you followed it? Who of you are going to say you have to do everything that you feel allowed to do? Which one of you are going to say that everyone should have their own standard? Do you know what that means to children in junior high school age, to have everybody with a different standard and he can do something that they can't do? Are you really being realistic and sensible? Is not the pastor the head of the assembly? Does not he set for the church the standard? If it says to obey them that have the rule over and submit, for they watch for your souls, then does not give them the right? Then should people fight it? We're in a very strong thing of reactions from demons. We need to be careful of reactions. Now, we're making standards for the church and the school, and that includes all those who go here, whether from public school or not. It includes adults, college students. Listen, by the year 2001, says a promotional videotape made by Revlon Company. Now, this is Revlon. This is a, you know, this is a well-known cosmetic firm in America. This isn't Playboy. The fashionable women may well be making up a face with the likes of an astral stream dotted across the cheekbone, or a rocket run over one eye. Perhaps Revlon should revise its timetable. Last month, Jessica Scott, a New York-based freelance art director, went out to dinner with bobbed eyelashes and orange stripes on one cheek. Pat Hello, a New York songwriter, has been experimenting with unmatched eyes. And 2 weeks ago, Wendy Leibman, a senior director of marketing at Revlon International, attended a business meeting wearing a stripe down the middle of her face and a boldly marked Z on her left temple. Now, this setup to follow cosmetic companies has been going on for 20 years in this nation, predominantly. And then it started before that. But the main thrust, about 20 years. It has been working to set people up. It has worked with beautiful, gorgeous pictures in fashion magazines. It has lured the women of America to the fashion magazines. Because women care about how they look, and it's the only place that's given it to them. And so they're going out to the world sources and are being taught and lured and gobbling up for decades, and they get hooked to do whatever the fashion designers say. And you know that. You know that when they put on the market, whatever they put in the market, the women automatically wear. They wear it. Now, not all of them, thank the Lord. But a great mass of them go into it. No matter what they put out, you know they'll wear it. Clothing designers can put a thousand things out, throw a dart, hit one, put it out in the market, and it'll go. It'll go. Anything they put out, people will wear. Anything. That's proven by what's happening right now. Now, that cannot be the standard. You have been set up. Now, the end of the setup isn't yet. When they get people hooked, they only can take them so far at a time. I mean, you know, they'll put something outlandish out. Only 20% of the people will go for it. Well, they'll let that be out there a while, get the shock, get off. They'll pull it back, retreat a little bit, and put something else out. And they'll keep doing this and keep going further. They'll keep doing like this, but it goes further and further and further. They're leading you somewhere. 20 years from today, if the Lord tarries, or to even 10, it's not going to look like it does now. It doesn't look now like it did 10 years ago, or 20, or 30, or 40. It's a changing world towards demonism. And Christians need to be aware and not go step at a time into it. There have been many years in preparing our nation for this. And they hit the youth. Because the youth haven't seen the oldest things, and they haven't seen the changes as much. And so they're more flexible. The youth are the big setup. They don't know much. They just come out of grade school and playing with dolls and things, and now all of a sudden they find their bodies changing, and they're in a world where they're looking at themselves and interested, and they have no criteria. They haven't been in the fashion world for that many years. And what mom and grandma wears looks awful old-fashioned. That isn't youth wear. So all they've got is the youth wear pushed today in front of their eyeballs. And then everybody at school wears it, and they feel intimidated, and they don't wear it, and they'll suck right into it. Youth is dangerous. When I was a youth in a Pentecostal Holiness Church, all the women, all the girls at school, in high school, all wore bright red, what we used to call bond paint. But the Christian girls that came from Pentecostal churches and good Nazarene churches knows they had no lipstick. And I thought those Christian girls looked so good. I just looked out and thought, boy, they look so pretty, they look so good. I hated that other. Those girls had the bucket tied, one to a classroom oftentimes. Everybody with bright red lipstick but them. But they held the standard. And people say, oh, well, people are going to laugh at them. If you ever get to a place where you cannot stand and hold your standard and are ashamed of Jesus Christ, your church, and your standard, how are you going to make it for the next 15, 20 years? You're not going to make it. You young people growing up are going to be non-witnesses. You're going to be hiding your light with bushel baskets. You will be doing everything the world does, step by step by step, because you don't want to be out of tune with the world. You're going to go to hell if you do that. If you can't stand And Jesus promised persecution. If you're not willing to be persecuted with the laughter and tongues of know-nothings around you, you will never be able to stand. You need to learn to stand up with head high and say, I'm a Christian, I don't do those things. The new look, which some people are calling post-new wave, will make what was formerly racy, notice the words they use all the way through in the admissions, say purple eyeshadow. Purple eyeshadow, they say it was racy. Not normal. Seem as conservative as a touch of lip gloss. You see, they're warning you. Eye makeup is being used on the mouth. Now, why should eye makeup be used in the mouth? Why shouldn't mouth makeup be used in the mouth? See, they're trying to do it. The devil wants to twist every single thing. You'll see it through this whole thing. The devil wants to call night, day, and day, night, dark, light, light, dark. They want to twist everything. They want to call homosexual sin. They want to call it gay. They want to call lust love. They're twisting everything. And all over the face. The activity could be just one thing to pick up the sluggish $3.5 billion cosmetic industry, which expanded rapidly in the 1970s because of the tremendous influx of women into the workforce. That's because of women's liberation. But the last 2 years have seen very little growth, and a fashion that calls for new colors and lavish use of products could double consumption. There hasn't been a growth because we've been in what they call the natural look, and so there's been less of it. So the almighty dollar is dictating again, let's really push. And see, after a while, they get a backup, so they give a new push that people can really feel, you know, a new surge, something here. Now, this is said by David Ledeck, creative director of the Revlon International account at Gray Advertising. The antecedents of the new makeup include the rebellious London punks and posers, conspicuous dressers. See, we're not supposed to be rebellious or conspicuous according to the scriptures. A succession of youth cult movements. What you see out here, if you teenagers are going to follow it, you are going into what they are telling you is a rebellious youth cult movement. From glam rock to new wave and the visual pyrotechnics of rock videos. But what was once regarded as bizarre, and they're admitting what was once bizarre, it now is passing into the mainstream and is suddenly being taken seriously by fashion tastemakers. They admit they're taking bizarre and going to make bizarre common, and they're going to make you the dupes if you follow them, so you will be bizarre following the rock punks. Consider this. Now, this all comes from secular sources. This is not a religious source. Elizabeth Arden, you ever heard of that? A cosmetic concern traditionally geared toward the establishment is pushing a new eye makeup based on sending out a photo of British rock star Boy George. And in the April Vogue, one model is made up with a single confetti painted eye. June T. Lehman, this is another voice, seeing different now, says cautiously, our customers are excited by new colors, but they respond to a look that is basically natural. What is natural? Notice, this is what this world designer says is natural. What isn't natural? There is nothing natural about bright magneta lips and turquoise eyeshadow. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Nothing natural. I'm not against makeup. But when you're finished, you should look like a human being, not a clown. And what I mean by that, you should look as God made you. Now, some people are against makeup. That's all right with me. But I'm not. But I say, when you get done, the whole criteria is not cosmopolitan, Vogue, or anything else. That's a changing thing. There has got to be some all-pervading principle in this matter. I still think your pastor in your church is a better standard than Cosmopolitan and Vogue and all the rest of them. Now, here's the principle. Whatever you wear should make you look more lovely, more bloom of youth, more blood in the face if you need it, more color, in the natural color in the face, more sparkle, more life, getting rid of, make it look like I have a nicer complexion, more sparkly eyes and so forth. But from a certain distance away, people should not be able to tell you even got any makeup on. You should look purely the way God created you. You should not decorate legs, skin, and hair because of what you're wearing. That remains God created. And all your decorations should be put in shoes, clothes, hats, accessories. Don't change your body to be in line with what you're wearing. Don't change it to even appear to be in line with what you're wearing. And that's why I'm against these red nylons and blue and everything else. There's no reason to paint your legs because you're wearing a certain thing. All down to the history, for most of the history of man, which has not been real clean, by the way, that has not been done. Anything that is new and outrageous and fresh is for some Cosmo girls. Are you a Cosmo girl, any of you? Let me see where I am here. However, a few New Yorkers around Bloomingdale's department store last month could help but notice the mannequins in its windows. The faces featured fluorescent green cheek blobs, orange lips, and messy unmasked blue and yellow eyes. The makeup artist behind these shocking faces was New York-based Linda Mason, a 37-year-old former nanny from Sunderland, England. She has taught makeup for Lancome in Paris and Beirut and has made up mannequins in numerous French fashion collections over the last 9 years. Indeed, Miss Mason says it was she who took face painting out of the punk into high fashion. Now you know where it's coming from. I can remember the exact moment when I invented this look, she says. It was 1979. She was doing a test shooting at a French chateau. The model was wearing a green paper dress. I didn't feel like doing anything normal. What kind of spirit do you think came into her? I went splash, splish, splash, splodge, and liked the results. During a time, she felt like doing nothing normal. Where is it written that faces have to be symmetrical and normal? Admitting going to unnormal. God has made our face symmetrical. Graffiti words such as groupie, beat, and rock written on the pages of recent European fashion magazines feature some of Miss Mason's specialties. The silver splash over one eye and one giant false eyelash. Leopard spots on turquoise, yellow and green on one side of the face with a red smudge in the nose. Facial graffiti words such as groupie, beat, and rock written around the edges of a blunt haircut. Pink owl eyes. Squashed lipstick. No lip liner necessary. Let it bleed. Inky handprints on the neck and cheek. Rubbed off makeup. It looks like you slept in it all night. See? Exactly what you've never wanted. Very sensual, says Miss Mason. Earlier she created the day in the coal mines look. Well, you've been seeing that on television. So-and-so-and-so-and-so, and outscoots this girl from underneath a Mack truck and talks to you, you know. Well, if she's under a Mack truck, she's committing fornication. She's not fixing anything. I'll tell you that. For the Japanese firm, Kami, I won't even try to pronounce it, that the fashion press dubbed the battered wife look. See? Linda has destroyed makeup as we know it, said Miss Meisel. Miss Mason's work is also affecting the way fashion photographs are taken. Formerly, the model would arrive at the photo studio, have her hair and makeup done in the dressing room, then come out and put the clothes on. Now, said Mr. Meisel, makeup is done on the set. Linda does a dab here, a dab there, depending on how the model moves her head. Not depending on how she looks, not space relationship, not color harmony, not what's sensible, reasonable, not what looks best, but how the other person happens to move her head. is how you get. Now, see, everything is going from the reasonable to the unreasonable. And more, unnormal and unreasonable. In other words, demonic. The new face fashion requiring grease paint and body gel mixed with powders is a lot messier than traditional makeup. I have my clothes cleaned very often, said Miss Mason, who paid $1,200 per day for an advertising shooting, who's paid that much. The reward for those who wear the makeup is attention. Miss Liban of Z enjoys the notice on her face attracts. Attention. The Bible tells us not to do that. I'll read it to you later. In a city like New York, you can get lost without too much trouble. Nonetheless, she admits she was startled the other day when a man on Fifth Avenue lifted up her bangs to inspect her polka dot forehead design, and he walked off muttering, "Amazing." Her colleague, Miss Glass, she of the facial stripes, says, "I try to be as noticeable as possible. People get a giggle out of it." In other words, a fool. Or a shock. Painted faces can be intimidating, which in certain settings can be a plus. And that's in her judgment. In the subway, you feel safe, explains a 17-year-old junior from the Scarsdale, New York, alternative high school. And that's where she's going to the alternative high school. The bold X drawn across her face with a lip liner. Big X across her face. You see it in science. X, you know, can't go this direction. Don't do this or something. She says it's a political statement. In the fashion. And she's fully aware of its power. My mom says she doesn't worry about me getting mugged every night because everyone's afraid of me. Well, the other reason is that she's so distasteful, who would want her? Only to get a part in the drama club's production in our town did she wash off her face paint. I have stopped wearing this makeup in the daytime because it scares off clients, says Maria Jimenez, the hairdresser at Eli's in Ellie's in Los Angeles. It also can scare off men. Most men don't find it attractive. Miss Jimenez admits. But I don't dress to please men. That's the new feminist lesbian thing. We don't dress because we're lesbians. We don't, see. Then she said, I dress to please myself, which more literally interpreted it means the demons. She doesn't know what herself is. This look is amusing for a young woman, but I would never want to take her to dinner, this man particularly. Hairdresser says. The elaborately painted eyes he did for Vogue in the 1960s foreshadowed the current trend. See, what's in the 60s foreshadowed the current trend. See, don't think that those things were innocent and now it's come to this. Well, this is laughable. This is ridiculous. It's been ridiculous and it's been getting more ridiculous and it's going to continue to get more ridiculous. And you go out there and visit any church, just open the door and walk into most churches and you'll see the ridiculous about you. You'll see the world. You will not know whether you're in church or whether you're out in some public gathering someplace. Another article called Holes in Your Socks. Don't worry, you have the latest foot fashion. Some people throw out socks with holes in them. Others are snapping them up at $12 a pair. Actually, they're buying the latest design from Hot Socks Company in New York. It has several ragged holes covered with patches of sheer nylon net. The tattered-looking product of which Hot Socks claims to have sold 48,000 pairs so far this year, and that this thing is May the 30th. So at that time, it sold that much. Is worn over tights, pantyhose, or other socks to extend the current torn clothing look to the feet. Now, why should people have a torn clothing look when the nation, when the whole world has always wanted to stay away from torn clothing? And there's no reason to buy new stuff if you're going to wear torn stuff. They were reaching out to buy torn. You see the unnaturalness. Weird. Now, noticing the word weird. They're admitting it. Weird socks have become a craze in recent years. The company sells socks, silk screen with the image of King Kong. Oh, beautiful. Toe socks, which are to feet as gloves of the hands. In other words, with fingers on each toe. Fishnet anklets with string ties and pantyhose imprinted with the heads of James Cagney and Humphrey Bogart. Hot Socks sold $12 million worth of socks and legwear last year. Can do a lot more this year. Carol Nizuran, who works in the garment industry looks at the assortment and says, I like that bondage look. You see all the admissions that are coming across? Bondage. The world is in bondage. The 37-year-old Mr. Walkowitz designs all the hot socks himself. Well, that's his problem. He's going to pay for it, too. This year he has created 350 sock fashions. It is very difficult to say where the inspiration comes from. He admits he's got an inspiration coming to him. He says, Mr. Walkowitz's favorite new product is the underwear sock. We're trying to ground it into an interrelated fashion trend, he says, meaning that boys' style underwear is fashionable for women right now. The sock has an elasticated top and a baggy size, and 8,000 dozen pairs are being shipped. Alisa Ford says she would wear socks with holes in them just to be noticed. Androgynous, it says Hill. Androgynous, is that right? Webster calls it having male and female characteristics in one. We call it being gutsy enough to get what you want. Why should you want something different than the way you've been created? Why should you want something totally foreign to you, which is forbidden by the Bible, including the best of classic fashion from the men? Try it on, tie it on, wear it with a smile. Hey, look at you now. Dumbest looking man you ever saw. Women looking like men do make lousy looking men. When you can't tell the girls from the boys, this one's called. If you ever hear a little kid say, Mommy, what's that? Is that a woman, Mommy? Don't go, shh, 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 shh. Say, I don't know. Beats me, kid. How can you possibly tell? Boy George, British rocker in makeup, plaited hair. Michael Jackson approximated the look of women as closely as men are able. Paul Monroe, New York designer, says his dresses are a hit. Annie Carlisle plays man and woman in movie Liquid Sky. Sexuality slips into neutral gear. Exactly what the Bible expressly forbids. Contrary to the creation of God and to the mind and the design of God, who wanted them separate, so he made them separate, and he forbid them to wear clothes like each other. Right. Pop stars, clothes horses of blurring traditional lines between he and she. Strictly defined, the androgyny is the merging of male and female characteristics. These days, it's a look that sometimes makes us ask, is it a man or a woman? See, they're admitting all of this. ABC's Good Morning America featured designers of dresses and skirts for men last month. MTV's 18 million viewers are fed an increasingly heavy diet of androgynous characters in its music video offerings. Do you see one good reason not to keep watching television and have your children watch it? Thank you. The cult movie, movies too. Liquid Sky is a showcase for androgynous looks and bisexuality. Actress Ann Carlisle portrays both the female and the male lead. I tell you, you keep going to movies out here, you're going to get demonized, or get the demons more demons. You're going to get in trouble. I can promise you, you're not eating out of the master's plate. I challenge you to be telling me what these wonderful movies are that are okay to watch. For some of the kids, it has created a confusion in themselves, says Jim Stiles, a crisis counselor with the Lansing, Michigan school system. The fact that Michael Jackson can cry during a song just really sends the females, but it makes the guys angry at girls for liking him. Monroe estimates about 10% of his customers are transvestites. Neil says men now wear purses, necklaces, fur coats. Not too long ago, that was totally unheard of. To be sure, androgynous clothes and clubs are more a fixture of New York and Los Angeles than the more moderately sized USA cities. But even in the smallest communities, a far less flamboyant unisex look thrives in the form of jeans and T-shirts. Clothes tend to reflect the way a person thinks about himself, says Dr. John Mayer, professor of psychiatry at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. I don't think it's by accident that certain people dress in a macho way, others more conservatively, and others more androgynously. And I don't either, whether I pronounce it right or not. I see a lot more boys wearing makeup, she says. I think it's a rebellious thing to do. It's about the only thing that hasn't been done. When a rebellious movement. For your man's stocking, an earring. What do you give a man who has everything for Christmas? One suggestion is earrings. Increasing number of men, most in their teens and 20s, are having their ears pierced. At one time, wearing an earring in the left ear was supposed to indicate the wearer was gay, says an unimpeachable source. Pierced ears are big with the 18 and under, mostly junior high and high school students, but we do have male customers in their 20s. Men can thank women for liberation and style, and that's his opinion. Menswear designer Lee Wright knows he can't turn the world around, but he believes the women's liberation movement has, for both sexes. This movement has broken down social and sexual mores, and as a result has given men more freedom, especially in their appearance. It makes it easier for us designers. Now we can use colors that we weren't able to use in the past, like the reds, the pinks, and the purples. See, because of women's liberation. So if you see why I don't like men and those feminine colors and so forth, you see, I've got a basis for what I say behind it. And just because you're Johnny come late on the scene, don't push ignorance as a virtue, please. This one's called The Clothes Off of Dad's Back. The next time you want to have some fun with clothes, he's talking to girls, and not necessarily your clothes, take the cue from actress Diane Lane. See, people are learning from the actresses. They're learning from the movie. I remember T. Texas Tyler. How many of you ever heard of him? He was the older generation has heard of him. He was a Western star in music in my day, and I heard him testify at an Assembly of God church after I was growing up and married, and he became a Christian, and he was in deep trouble. He was taking drugs all the time and alcohol, and he tried suicide. I mean, he was a messed up character. He was getting worse and worse, making $1 million a day and in misery, in misery, and that was a lot of money for those days. But he said, Hollywood is cleansed on the north by Las Vegas, and I don't know. He's making certain statements saying, Hollywood is a sinkhole of hell, is what he was saying. And that's what's producing the movies and the television people are watching. And he was a man who was in that business all of his life. He ought to know. She dug into Dad Burt Lane's closet and came up with some goodies just right for remodeling. Boxer shorts are turned into paper bag shorts. We simply add a drawstring waist and a rope trim the legs. The top of a gentlemanly vest. Men's pants take on a high-waisted look, plus a pair of suspenders and get partnered by a big shirt, wide tie, and so forth. Women wear men's clothes, and you see that around. Now it's going to get worse. I'm giving you the tame stuff. These pictures, you've seen some of them around. It's up in Vancouver, Washington. You ever see the punkers up there? You're beginning to see them downhill. They're in New York. They're up there. This is a wave that's coming in Vancouver, British Columbia. We've seen a lot of it up there. Youthful music protests. It's the wardrobe of the new wave of youthful music / protest, dubbed punk or punk rock, designed to shock, alienate, or gross out establishment types. Now that's the purpose. Youth, if you begin to like some of the stuff, remember you've got demons tempting you. Don't give in to them just because you've got demons tempting you. They admit that this is a protest and is to alienate. That make a division between the parents and the children. To shock, to gross out. Don't blame your parents when they don't want it. It was designed to do this because they're wise enough to fall into this new thing for the children because it's demonized. And if you're not wise enough, that's exactly what the devil wants, is rebellion. If you've got rebellion, you will alienate. You will divide. Then you'll blame your parents for it. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil will speak right out of your mouth and blame your parents for it. When you're the one that's doing wrong. The punk movement began in Britain among jobless working class youths frustrated by an aimless lifestyle. Devoted to display a great deal of inward directed violence. So now they've admitted that it's come from frustrated people, full of violence. Having the personal lifestyles reflect a similar attitude, concerned mostly with getting it on, behaving promiscuously. They throw off most convention and order out the window. So if you follow it, you are following that which admittedly is behaving promiscuously. So you are looking that way. You're advertising, association. Politically, of course, they are devoted to anarchy. You see what you can do? Unwittingly, there are nations, people going into church, wearing anarchy, promiscuous, frustration, violence, rebellion, demonized, lesbian, homosexual, ignoring all authority. Don't think it's strange that when people start wearing that those demons find that homing device right there, and the next thing you know, they are rebelling and all authority they're against. And the parents say, I can't do a thing with my kid. No wonder. They have opened themselves to demon forces by beginning to open up to and like. And even if you like it and haven't worn it yet, but inside you're upset at your parents and you're loving it and so forth, you are yielding to demon spirits and you're getting them, and they're setting you up for a break from your parents and eventually out of the church. You'll get bitter at the church and at Jesus Christ. You'll go out and live in sin and get messed up and end up with diseases you can never overcome, and you'll end up going to hell and losing your salvation. One young punker advocating the violent overthrow of Parliament and the monarchy, that means Britain itself, believes that England needs another Hitler to bomb the country and create an anarchical ambience of the last world war. Now you know what kind of spirit he's got. Need another Hitler. You see the forces involved here? This is not just fashions. This is demonism. The punk group Sex Pistols, first album, God Save the Queen, She Ain't No Human Being, sold 1,800 copies the first day it was released. Punk has already spread to the colonies. Los Angeles, New York have a dozen or so groups each, and the phenomenon of gaining momentum now due to a minor barrage of media hype. Retailers across the U.S. are gearing up for consumer run on punk items like ripped and pinned T-shirts and $100 gold safety pins. Perhaps musically and politically conservative folks thought things were getting better when hard metal rock mellowed into disco music. But apparently a vacuum existed, and punk, with its underlying philosophy of anarchy and nihilism, filled that empty space in the hearts of youth looking for a new way to rebel. Now, nihilism means that nothing exists or is knowable. Nothing exists or is knowable. They're going into that as a rebellion because they don't know what exists and what... They were confused in their minds because they don't have God. So if you have God, don't go that way. They're in trouble. Red hair on this kid, bright red hair and green and red on that kid with lipstick on the boys and and so forth. It's a mess. I was the Lord of the Wasteland, a modern-day man of steel. I gathered darkness to please me, and I command you to kneel before the God of Thunder, the God of rock and roll. He'll sell you under. He'll rob you of your virgin soul. These lyrics from Kiss, 1976 song. God of Thunder have served as a powerful ammunition for fundamentalist religious groups across the country. Believing the band members are devil worshippers, these groups have sought injunctions to stop Kiss concerts and have burned Kiss albums. They also claim the acronym KISS stands for Knights in Satan's Service. The conflict reaches beyond the band and religious groups. Earlier this year, a Pentecostal minister, Reverend Harold Beasley, in Caribou, Maine, provoked by KISS bassist Gene Simmons' statement, "Our religion is rock and roll." You like rock and roll? You're liking a religion. They're claiming it as a religion. Who are you to claim it isn't? They ought to know. They say it is. We don't mess with your religion. Don't mess with ours. And so this Pentecostal minister says, okay, and he starts to ban all rock and roll from schools and the principle of separation of church and state. In the 1970s, KISS was a worldwide phenomenon. The rage of coming of age of adolescence. With their cartoonish looks, black and white makeup, and their own brand of high blast heavy metal, they sold 11 platinum and 4 gold albums, performed to sold-out stadiums throughout the world, had their own KISS comic book, and a legion of fans who formed the KISS Army. KISS has yet to come out and publicly deny the accusations by the fundamentalists which began to surface in the mid-1970s. I'm going to quit here very soon, but a little bit more. First of all, considering the new Ramones album, End of the Century, a kind of long play, Hell's a Poppin'. Notice the words. The Ramones is a wonderfully zany, they're calling zany wonderful, new wave band from nether suburbs of Manhattan. And he says, down here, this guy, the performer says, it's no joke, we're not clowns. They're not clowning, they're doing something. People say, oh, this is funny, this is theater, this is circus. It's not. They're doing something with an avowed purpose of bringing demonism in, of tearing down the standards of the nation. The self-inspired, self-parroting lunacy, admitting it's lunacy, sidewise sophistication, have given an antic and raucous heartbeat. See the admissions? Outstage, the boys look like aging incorrigibles. They admit they look like incorrigibles. The bottom four students in the remedial class at vocational high school. See? They're admitting this. They play with headlong, madcap, and deliberately amateurish intensity. Ramones look like a quartet of glue sniffers. Now, this is in the very fundamental Time magazine, which is liberal. And that's 45 Grave rockin' for the devil. Drummer Don Bolus says that 45 Grave plays rock, devil rock. Bolus usually puts on elaborate skull makeup for 45 Grave shows. Paul Cutler generally wears devil horns and have blood dripping from them. And screamer vocalist Diana Cancer contributes to the cemetery a chic image by dressing in black. This fixation with the devil, see, they're admitting it. Death and blood could be seen as a gimmick, an update on the same things that made fans squeal and squirm and spend lots of money on Alice Cooper in the early 90s. The main difference, however, is that this gimmick doesn't disappear when the band leaves the stage. When the band and I first met for this story, they felt I should go see a pair of movies with them. So before the interview began, we bobbed down to the Newark Revival Theater to see Herschel Lewis, The Wizard of Gore, and the Gore Gore Girls, two spectacles of flesh-ripping, bone-breaking, throat-slashing, and eye-gouging. The band giggled throughout. Of course, seeing bloodbath movies is no big deal. But one story surrounding the 45 grave also has the members carrying human remains on stage at the Whiskey for one show. According to the by now well-traveled legend, a friend of the band dug up some old bones in an obscure graveyard and gave them to the group. He washed them off. Bolo assures me two of the bones are in the photo accompany this story. Horrible truth, so just hype. The group has been undeniably successful at transmitting a sense of dread on stage. That's a great part of their appeal. Remarkably, 45 Grave has arrived at a sellout status in less than a year. That's what the nation is headed for. Have you ever walked down to the toy store lately and tried to buy your kid a toy? Monsters and ghoulish things all over the place. What the kids have today is monsters everywhere. About 50% or 60%, it won't be long and you won't be able to find a toy other than demonic and monstrous. But ruining the children at an early age and bringing them up to love monsters, demons. Oi, music to riot by. The group is called Blitz and the song is Nation on Fire. The imagery is violent. They are a menacing step beyond the punk rockers who formerly scandalized the establishment. Punk just didn't shock anymore, says Neil Lehman of Blitz. Skinhead is a lot more powerful. See, things are getting bigger, more shock. They have to have more shock and more shock and more shock. You know what's going to happen to keep demanding more shock? You're going to see it on the streets. You're going to see it, and your children are going to see it. Everywhere. You're going to see grotesque, unnatural sex out in public everywhere, is my prediction, before the decade's over. That was... See, we're headed into something. Like I told you before, God's going to get his Christians so that they'll hate the world and can no longer identify with it. And get them up in arms about the matter. That was amply demonstrated last month when busloads of skinheads went to the Hamburg Tavern in the London suburb of Southall to hear the Foreskins, the leading OA group. Southall is predominantly Asian area, where 2 years ago, members of Britain's National Front advocated deporting Asians and blacks, fought street battles with left-wing opponents. When the white skinheads arrived this time, Asian youth decided that they had been invaded. The riot that followed left 61 policemen in the hospital and the Hamburg Tavern a blackened pile of rubble. Putting OA fans in an Asian neighborhood, one policeman declared, was like a red flag to a bull. After Southall, the press informed a stunned public about songs such as Someone's Gonna Die and Riot Riot by OA groups with names like Info Riot and Splodge. The reaction was swift and scared. Police banned an OA concert scheduled this month in Kent. The Mayflower Club in Manchester and Bridge House in London also canceled OA engagements. The suspended second OA album was titled Strength to OA, chillingly reminiscent of Hitler's slogan, Strength to Joy. The album, see, when they say things, people don't get the little changes of words and things. The album cover shows a bare-chested skinhead, his face contorted in hatred. The cover model is Nikki Crane, serving 4 years for conspiracy to assault and an incitement to racial hatred. Crane is a former bodyguard for a leader of the British movement, says the director of one of the Britain's major record companies. There's no doubt in my mind that the National Front and the British movement view OA as a fertile recruiting ground. A new OA album is due in September. It expresses an us-against-the-world attitude, asserts Simon Frith. And see, that's what's happening, us against the world. Now, just two more pieces and I'm done. Alice Cooper used to epitomize all that was decadent in rock music. He's admitting it's decadent. His performances at $50,000 per night featured him mutilating baby dolls, fondling six-foot boa constrictors and enacting a weird self-hanging. In the early 1970s, Alice Cooper was one of rock's major box office attractions. See, the thing, the more weird and demonic it gets, the bigger the attraction. Why? The youth is full of demons. Yeah. A year ago, Alice was surpassed in the bad taste department by punk rock and defeated by alcohol. I'd gotten to the point, he says, where I didn't like to drink, but my body craved the stuff. I fed her 2 cases of beer and 2 quarts of hard liquor a day. Luckily for this son of Detroit clergyman, how his father must think, he retained enough sense to commit himself to an alcoholism rehabilitation center outside New York City. Now he is cured, a complete teetotaler and a rock star who has cleaned up his act so thoroughly that he has been invited to appear on The Muppets and other children's TV programs. So you know who's on those. This summer, Alice Cooper also hit the road with his new act, Play Golf Wherever We Can, and recorded an album tentatively titled From the Inside and based on his sanatorium experiences. I am, he proudly declares, a changed man. Beer addict, Alice Cooper, 33, the freaked-out son of an Arizona minister who became one of the most bizarre attractions in the history of rock, used to brag about his beer-drinking capacity to reporters. For years, young musicians of every type have become drug users in the belief that drugs ranging from marijuana to heroin improve their music-making abilities. Perhaps they do, but drugs also cut short their lives and frequently send them to jail, also to hell. One last one. In a sermon, Boykin reported statistics that showed of 1,000 girls who became pregnant out of wedlock, 984 of them committed fornication while rock music was being played. He explained there's a rhythm to our bodies, and when we hear music with a similar rhythm, we respond to that beat. Too much of this can affect you in the wrong way, he said, and note that some even gospel music can lead youth astray. There's bad music all around us. It's not only rock music. Even gospel rock has that beat. Now, let me end up with my magazine called Proof, out in the counter. Just want to say this in closing. And this, quoting myself here, if you don't mind. The woman shall not wear that which... And I'm quoting myself, which is quoting the Bible. Deuteronomy 22, 5 and 11. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Another verse. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. That means soberness. See. 1 Timothy 2:9. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and make twinkling with their feet. Isaiah 3:16, it goes on and on, developing that and telling them they're in judgment. And then finally, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is her glory to her, for hair is given to her for a covering. And it also, and that's 1 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. She does not, he appeals to nature, the very nature, the way God has made us, the nature of the natural look. These things are going unnatural. And so I close by saying the principle found in these passages are that God is concerned that, one, we don't become vain by our dress. Two, we don't dress so as to appeal like the opposite sex. Three, we don't dress so as to identify with the pagans and ungodly. And four, we don't violate the types of Scripture. So, let this be a warning. I want this church to stay away from gunslinger belts on women and from all of this stuff that identifies. Whenever you see something new pop up that's out here, leave it alone. Stay way back at the conservative end. Men look like men. Women look like women. Keep more dressed up and not dressed down. That sloppy look is part of the devil's scheme. I promise you it's part of the devil's scheme. Don't think it is innocent because it doesn't have skull bones on it. It is part of the scheme. Now, I hope that this has been a motivation and a help and to the youth that I've invited here, the junior high school and the high school and the parents, and I trust that you'll work with us as we establish and intend to hold the lines. Women in the assembly, don't let your hair go goofy or mannish. And men, hold the standards we've set. Don't fight it. Don't push us. Don't be rebellious and push us. Stay on the other side of the line, please. God bless you. 10-minute break in the morning worship.
Would the person that wrote the question come up and identify herself and we can answer that personally? And I believe that we as adults need to really pray for our teenagers and stand behind them with a wall of prayer that the enemy will not be allowed to get through to them. As they make their commitments, the devil is going to fight them on it. Let's back them up with our prayers.
And parents, I want to say one more thing that's pretty important, and that's this. Some parents who have brought them, bringing their children up in a Christian families are finding them, their parents, some of the children going through real rebellion. And they're losing them. And I'm going to tell you the bottom line of how to deal with your children. One, give them lots of love.
Amen. Amen.
Two, hear them out.
Yes.
And explain to them. Explain your reasons.
Yes.
Be patient.
Yes.
Hear them out. Love them.
Yes.
Give them lots of love and attention.
Yes.
Make them feel secure. Do things with them. Be locked in with them. Don't neglect them. Now, I should call that one. Two, don't compromise standards.
Right.
Stay in authority.
Yes.
Don't give the reins to your children. You're going to rue the day that you do. You can't turn it back around. You have a God-given responsibility. Don't give away.
Right.
Three, because you must hold standards that are difficult for them because of the peer pressure. Give in to them in non-essential areas. I mean, let them have lots of liberty in non-essential areas. Don't hold them so tight because you're concerned that they can't do anything. Let them, within the bounds of your own propriety, allow them to make choices, even if it isn't the best choices. Let them do things. Let them have liberty so they don't feel totally boxed in. That's one way you lose them. But never compromise. Three, make sure they get delivered. But you can't force them. You cannot force them. You only can appeal. You can't force them for deliverance. You know that. And pray for them much. And pray with them. Some parents neglect their children and wonder why they go wrong because they want to just keep the iron whip over them. That won't do it. You got to love them and help them in it. You also can't give in to those demonic responses. You're in trouble. The demons will carry you to the ends of the earth and over the bluff. Let's be praying. Be careful. Start your children early. Keep them away from television. Keep them away from the movies. Guide their lives. Bring them up all the days of their life in the Lord. And love them and pay attention to their souls and help them and keep them delivered. God bless you.